This is the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Miami, here's Jim Rodriguez and Sean Stanley.
It's Championship Monday in college football, or as we like to call it, it's the SEC National Championship Game.
SEC!
Alabama and Georgia squaring off in Atlanta. I mean, how much more SEC can you get? The game's in Atlanta. It's Georgia and Alabama.
That's all you got to say.
I don't know if that will be polarizing. We'll see. Let's check now with our guest who knows everything about college football. He joins us now on our Miami Media School guest line. He's a writer for SB Nation, author of the 50 Best College Football Teams of All Time. It's Bill Connolly, and he joins us now. Bill, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, man. So that's my first question. Like, if I live in California or if I live in the Midwest, do you think I'm actually watching this game? I mean, this is the SEC National Championship game.
Well, I mean, it's also two really good teams. It's you know, we can only ever get no more than two regions covered anyway in the national title game. So to me, it's not all that different. I understand that. Excuse me, because it's the SEC, it's different. Thinking back to the 2011 title game, that went that was not very well watched, was not a very good game and all that, so we immediately kind of call to mind that whole experience and everything, plus we call to mind the general obnoxiousness of dealing with SEC teams when they're feeling good about themselves. But I mean, generally speaking, it's still a pretty interesting game. Plenty of subplots and everything. If you get over the SEC thing, it could be worth your while.
Now, Bill, one of those subplots is, will Kirby Smart be the first assistant to take down the powerful Nick Saban? What's your thoughts on that, Kirby Smart matching up with Nick Saban?
Well, I mean, this is a very good team. Part of the reason that Saban has done so well against former assistants, he hasn't played that many former assistants with really, really good teams. He's blown out a lot of pretty good teams, but not necessarily a team of this caliber. This is probably the best. Well, this is definitely the best former Saban assistant matchup that we've seen so far. I mean, whether Georgia can do it, I mean, it still remains to be seen. You've got a freshman quarterback going up against the Alabama defense. This is an Alabama defense that is more banged up, a little less, it's not quite as much depth as we're used to seeing from them, obviously, at this point. But it's still a very good team. It's a very well-coached unit. Georgia has gotten by a lot with big running plays, and Alabama's still the best defense in the country at preventing big run plays. So it's still going to be a very interesting matchup. I don't see either team really pulling away for a blowout here, but, I'm interested.
Bill, question for you now. Did you buy any of Nick Saban's complaining, crying after the semifinal game of, oh, I can't believe we have to play a week later, and poor Georgia, they're on the West Coast, and they got to fly back, and we didn't leave the Sugar Bowl till 1 in the morning. Are you buying any of that? Is that Saban being psychological with Kirby, or what do you make of that?
No, yes. I never really take anything he says too particularly seriously, because there's always a reason he's saying it. It's not just that he's stream of consciousness, sorry for himself. There was a reason. I don't really know what that was exactly. I don't think it was necessarily any sort of, like, 17-dimensional chess kind of trying to get into Kirby Smart's head or anything like that. Whatever the reason was, I didn't think too much about it, because he says a lot of things that he's just trying to plant seeds about for the future and whatever. I think generally speaking, college football teams are pretty used to getting a week between games, so it doesn't seem that odd.
But when you take a look at this game, who do you think Georgia, putting Kirby Smart hat on, obviously you want this game to be on Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and the running attack. If Alabama takes that away, do you have belief Jake Fromm can handle the Alabama defense?
Not really. I mean, he's not going to have to beat them much. I don't think Alabama, unless they've been saving all their big plays all season for this exact moment, they don't really have a big play arsenal for themselves. And so, Georgia's not going to have to beat Alabama's defense that many times to have a chance to win the game. But no, I mean, it's going to be – this is not a very efficient – Well, let me stop there. Like, the Georgia offense isn't necessarily as efficient as we think it is. They're just so, like, when the plays work, they're so perfect and they go for so long distances that it kind of covers up some general efficiency issues they have from time to time. They're just going to be basically trying to spread Alabama from side to side. I would assume we're going to see some of the short passing that we saw against Oklahoma, it's not necessarily going to be designed to work very well, but it's just designed to catch Alabama just slightly off guard and get one of, generate one of those second-level runs for Chubb or especially Michelle. And that's going to be kind of the biggest thing in this game for me is going to be simply, you know, number one, how many times are they able to get Michelle and Chubb to that second level? And then when they get there, are we talking about a 15-yard run or are we talking about a 60-yard run? Because, you know, Alabama is so good at making you, forcing you to really make two or three great plays to score on them. And so, you know, that could really make the difference of whether we're talking about Georgia scoring 6 points or about 28. Is, you know, is Alabama with their banged up linebacking core, are they able to tackle well? Are they able to prevent those gashes from being huge gashes? And if they do, they'll probably win.
Talking to Bill Conley, who's a writer for SB Nation, college football writer, talking about national championship game tonight, Alabama, Georgia. Nick Saban chasing that sixth national championship. How much do you think that really plays into his head? I mean, obviously, we know Nick's got a big ego, and he'll never tell us the truth, but, you know, third straight trip to the title game, came up short last year on the last play. How much does he want to catch that six?
You know, I think part of his success is just being able to, you know, turn the page from a given season and then just and recreate the hunger every single year, no matter how many titles he has. So, I mean, I think, you know, he's hungry for this title because it's the national title, and that's what he does everything for. Whether it's his fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, I don't think necessarily that comes into play. It's just that he's programmed to obsess over this, and now he's got a chance once again to do it. I mean, the run he's on right now, it, in terms of consistency, really, it beats anything Bear Bryant ever did. Bear Bryant hit a slump in the late 60s and early 70s before turning things around again. Really the only comparable coach when it comes to this run that Saban is on right now in terms of just consistent top 2, 3, 4 level play is Bobby Bowden in the 80s and 90s at Florida State. And so we are kind of what we've witnessed with Saban has been really, really special. And I'm really curious exactly how long it lasts. I mean, I realize they're probably not going to find the number one class in the country this year, but they're going to be really good next year and the year after that, too. So this is going to go on a while.
Where does Saban, you know, where is he all time? Is he if he wins this and gets and catches Bear, and that's five with Bama, he's still one short of Bear Bryant at the school. But where is he all time? Is he the greatest?
He's got to be up there. Just when you think about the parity that we attempt to levy on the sport now compared to previous decades, obviously we don't do a very good job with parity. It's still mostly the same teams every year, and it's still mostly the same 10 or 12 teams that sign most of the good recruits every year, but it's still more than it used to be. It's still, with the scholarship limits and everything else, we are closer to parity now than we normally are, and it doesn't matter. Alabama's one of the top two teams in the country every single year regardless. So the fact that he has been able to do that with all the potential distractions and everything else, with all the assistant coaches he's lost in the process, that, you know, that kind of took down Bobby Bowden after a while too. He just continues to do it. I mean, he's got to be up there, top 10, maybe top 5, maybe top 2 at this point, especially if he wins tonight.
Let's flip over to the other side. Kirby Smart, how has he gotten Georgia where they are right now so quickly?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been able to kind of change the culture behind the scenes a little bit. One of the stories that we heard when he was hired and then again recently was about how, you know, one of the things that struck Georgia AD Greg McGarrity so wrong at the end of the Mark Richt era was they were just barely surviving. They ended up winning 10 games in his final season, but they were, you know, they pulled off they avoided an upset against Georgia Southern. And they celebrated it a little too much for his liking, I guess. And so they started to think about the culture that needed to be changed behind the scenes. I really disagreed with the Rick's firing. I was about the only one, I think, because it's just so hard to replace a good coach with a better coach. Almost nobody ever actually pulls that off. They fire a good coach and they go 3-9 2 years later. But, you know, it's worked. And his ability to change the expectations, I think, has mattered as much as anything. He's recruited really well, but it's not like he has that many of his recruits on the field yet. It's still, you know, Roquan Smith and Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb, those are the leaders of his team. They were Mark Richt guys, and he's been able to drag that whole thing at least a little bit further. You know, Mark Richt got to about the doorstep a couple of times, and he was never able to quite get that title. We'll see if Kirby can do that. That's the one thing Richt couldn't do.
Yeah, Mark Richt put out a tweet today saying, good luck to the Dogs tonight. I'm happy for the players, coaches, and the Georgia people. You family. You buying all that? You think Mark Richt's like damn you guys?
Well, I'm sure he's probably got a little bitterness in him there.
Those are his guys, right? Also, those are still his guys, so it'll be a good piece for his recruiting portfolio, if you will.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I recruited the guys that just won that title. It certainly doesn't hurt. There's always a little bit of PR involved in what you tweet out if you're a head coach. But at the same time, I mean, he's regarded as one of the best guys in college football. So I'm sure it was at least a little bit heartfelt there. He's one of the few that could do that, and I would actually believe it was somewhat legit.
That's Bill Connolly. He writes for SB Nation, author of the 50 Best College Football Teams of All Time. Pick it up, and you can follow Bill on Twitter at SBN, for SB Nation, at SBN_BillC. Enjoy the game today, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
I wonder what Lane Kiffin's doing right now. Yeah, he already fired off a nice tweet because Saban said something about he doesn't yell at his coaches. Lane Kiffin went,
"You don't yell at your coaches."
Rat poison. We'll get into that. We'll get into that tweet coming up. Still more college football talk. Tell you who we think is going to win the game today. And is this really for Saban's legacy? Is he obsessed with this? We'll get into that next. It's the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio.